We're going to be looking at Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. I think we're going to read through this scripture today and then talk about some of the verses. I had heard some preaching on this when I was in Phoenix along these lines. This chapter was sticking out to me. And so I have some things that I want us to look at today out of this chapter. Psalms chapter 50. The nice thing about the winter time, and we have the wood stove going, if you're one of those people that's cold, just sit right back there. If you're one of those people that's hot, just sit right up here. It's nice and it'd be cooler up front. So you can adjust your temperature, whatever you like. Summertime is just hot everywhere. So you're in trouble if you don't like the hot. But thank the Lord for the wood heat. Tell you what, if I go somewhere where they don't have a wood stove, I start getting cold. Yeah. Psalms chapter 50. I'm going to be reading the New King James today. I'm going to read to... I think I'm just going to read and then stop at a few verses here and kind of point out some things. Psalm chapter 50. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun till it's going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, and that he may judge his people. Verse 5, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. We see here in these first six verses of chapter 50 in Psalms, that God is coming to speak. And as he begins to speak, it says that it moves everything. There in verse 3, that it moves everything around him. He says he's not going to keep silent, but he is going to speak. It talks about a fire coming before him to devour, and then that everything would be moved like a storm around him. So we see that God is having an impact on the world when he moves in. When he moves in and he begins to speak, it makes a difference in our families, it makes a difference in our communities, and it'll make a difference in our lives as God begins to move in. He says here, gather together, there in verse 5, the saints, those that have made a covenant, those that say that I'm a Christian, I'm serving God, I have decided to follow Jesus. He says, gather those people together, and he says, he is going to be the judge, there in verse 6. Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Now he's saying to listen. Verse 8, I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? I want to stop there for a second as we look at this. As God is saying, he's saying, you're giving me all of these things. And he's talking about there in verse 8 and verse 9. In verse 10, he says, you guys are giving me these things, these sacrifices. What he's saying here, he says, we can give God all kinds of things. We can give God of our money. We can give God of our food. We can share with those around us. We can give God of our time. We can give God of all kinds of blessings. And God says, actually, what he's saying, he says, you know what? I don't really need all that. He says, if I was hungry, says there in verse 12, he says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. He says, because, he says, I already own all of it. All the elk on the mountains, all the turkeys, wild turkeys in the mountains, all the cows, all the horses, all the things that are running on this earth, they're already God's. And if he doesn't need us to give him, he already owns all the finances. He already owns all the gold and all the silver, all the money. It's all his. All he has to do is speak a word and it moves from one to another. It becomes into existence. It's already his. He doesn't need us to feed him. He doesn't need us to give him some kind of blessing of money. Now, we do those things because we want to give back. We want to show God that we're thankful, and we give back to him with our finances and with our time and with our food or whatever we do to help others. But God says here, I don't need those things. I already got it all. And he's getting to a point here of what he does want. It says here, verse 15, we're going to see here what God wants. Verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I'm sorry, I skipped a verse there. Verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. These are the three things that we take out of these two verses that God wants from us today. If you're taking notes, write these down. God wants us to offer thanksgiving. That's the first thing there in verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving. So we see here the first thing that God wants is God wants us to say thank you. God wants us to say God's the one that blessed me with this. God's the one that gave me that. God's the one that helped me here. He wants thanksgiving. The second thing that we see there is in the last part of verse 14. And pay your vows to the Most High. This one here is keep your word. Especially to God. If you make a promise to God and you say, God, I'm going to do something or I'm not going to do something, you better do it. Because this is the second thing that we see that God wants. First, he wants us to give him thanks. Second, he wants us to keep our word. This is not just to him, but also to those around us. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to be not deceitful, not dishonest, not a thief. He wants us to be honest and open and keeping our word before him and our fellow people. So that's the second thing, is to keep our word. The third thing we see there in verse 15 is to call upon me in the day of trouble. Now we see here that the third thing that God wants is he wants us to call to him for help when we're in trouble. Isn't that interesting? God wants us to ask him for help. I think this is important this morning because many times when we're in our life, we're either too busy or we're too distracted, or maybe we think that our problem is not big enough for God. And God just simply says the third thing that he wants from us today is he wants us to call out to him when we're in trouble. I think on these things, I think, you know, what is it that we're calling to if we're not calling to God? And it might be that we're calling to a family member, right? Might be as soon as something bad happens, we get on the phone or we get on Facebook and we call for help from someone else besides God. It might be that there's people that run to the doctor for every single thing before they run to God. And I'm not against the doctors, because I thank God that he has given knowledge and understanding and tools to be able to help us in that area. But God wants us to run to him for help. He wants us to call out for help. It might be in the area of finances. We might be calling out to things other than God first. Whenever we run out of money, or whenever we lose the job, or whenever the food is running low. God wants us to run to him and ask for help. God wants us to. It might be in the area of the family, the children, or difficulties in relationships. Who knows who we're running to first in that, but he wants us to be running to him first. There's those that would run to substances before they would run to God. Instead of running to God first, they run and take a hit first and get a little bit on the side where they begin to feel better and begin to forget about things. That's not what God intended for us to do. There's those that would run to alcohol. There's those that would run to food. There's those that would run to shopping. Anything that they can go brain dead. Watching movies nonstop. scrolling through TikTok or whatever it might be, whatever it is. Not that those things in and of themselves are wrong all the time. Some of them could be. But we're running to things other than God first. God help us this morning. This to learn to run to Him, to call on Him first. Why would God do that? Because if every time that you have a problem that you run and you take a hit, then that's going to be your thing that satisfies. That's going to be your thing that is your fulfilling thing. You don't need God. I'll say we still need God, but in our mind, right, we don't need Him. On the flip side, if we run to God every time and we say, God, I need your help. I've been having this struggle. I've been having this headache or this problem at work, or I've been having this problem in the family, or I've been having this financial issue. When God fixes the problem, He gets the glory, He gets the praise, and He gets the honor. There's no question about it. He's the one that fixed it. This comes right back to the number one thing that He wants, is He wants thanksgiving. He wants people that point to Him and say, God is the one that protected me last night in that storm. God is the one that provided this ride for me. God is the one that has provided this job for me. God is the one that has helped my children. God is the one that has helped my marriage or whatever. He's the one. He wants people that will say that. So the three things is God wants thanksgiving to Him. We got to be careful. I'm going to just pause here for just a second. We got to be careful with thanksgiving because sometimes we're giving thanks to other things besides God. Thank God I was able to, you know, go to school and learn so I was able to do this. Well, that's difficult there because we should be saying, thank God I was able to learn. You see what I'm saying? We can easily push God out if we're not careful. Thank God I was able to be strong enough to work. That would be better than saying, well, thankfully, I was able to, you know, work hard enough this week and make the money. We just push God out. We got to be careful with this thanksgiving. Thankfully, I had a grandma, or thankful I had this, or I had that. We got to be careful that when, that's why we need to be giving thanksgiving to Him, to God, okay? That's just an extra point there that we need to think about. Then we need to be keeping our word, and then we need to be calling on Him. I'm not going to stop there. We're going to go ahead and go through the rest of this chapter. The next part of this chapter, as we move into verse 16, I believe it is God talking to those who are not serving Him. These are interesting today because they may speak to our hearts if there's an area that we have drifted away from God in or whatnot. Let's read this chapter 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or to take my covenant in your mouth? God starts off here talking to those that are not serving Him. And He says, why, what right do you think you have to declare my truths? Or what right do you have to teach my truths or my word, the things that are truth? The second thing He says there, or to take my covenants in your mouth. He's saying here, why are you claiming my promises? This is God speaking this morning. He's saying, if to those that are wicked, those that are walking away from God, those that are doing wrong. And He says, why in the world would you preach my truths? And why in the world would you claim my promises if you're not serving me? And He goes on, 17, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. He says, why in the world would you do these? Would you claim my promises and keep and teach my truths when you're hating the instruction? The instruction is God's word. This is the instruction. He said, you hate it. And my words, once again, God's word. He says, you throw it behind your back. Nah, it doesn't apply to me. Doesn't apply to my family. And we disregard it. He says, why in the world? He gives us, keep going here. Seeing you hate, oh, I'm sorry, verse 18. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. Now God is going into a list of things that these people that are not serving Him, that they did. They saw someone that was stealing or being deceitful, and they went along with it. They said it was all right. And have been partakers with adulterers, those that would be doing things against God sexually. So they went along with it and were part of it. Verse 19, and you give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. The mouth to evil, wrong words, things falling out of their mouth. It's like a garbage can. Then it says there, your tongue frames deceit. This goes right to the... Think about what God said He wants. He wants people that keep their word. People that when they make a promise and when they say that this is what they're doing, that's what they're doing. That's where they intend to go. This is the opposite. This is the person that uses their tongue to manipulate or to create things that are deceitful. Well, how can I say it so that I look good, but really I'm not going to be that way and deceive people? How can I make them think so they'll give me the money or so I'll get the deal? And they begin to deceive. Let's keep going here. Verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. We don't even need interpretation on this one. We understand what that means. To God would be displeased with those that would sit and speak down against their own family or their own community. And then he just says it again. Slander is to talk bad about those that are your own mother's son. Verse 21. These things you have done and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you. I will set them in order before your eyes. God says, these things you were doing and I didn't say anything. And because I didn't say anything, you thought that I was like you. In other words, just because God doesn't strike us dead, or just because God doesn't slap us across the face when we do something wrong, sometimes we begin to think that what we're doing is okay. God said, just because I sat there and didn't correct you and knock you down doesn't mean that I go along with what you're doing. God still has His word that says what truth is. God still has those that are saying what's right and what's wrong. God still has his our conscience in and of us that we know what is right. We know when it's wrong. And He said, just because I didn't strike you down or just because I didn't shut you up doesn't mean that I go along with it. And I think this is interesting this morning because there are some that, or even in my own life, that I would say, you know what? It looks like God's letting them get away with that. It looks like they're living like the devil. It looks like they're doing all of those wrong things. Why hasn't God shut them down yet? God says, just because it happens doesn't mean I'm okay with it. And He says, I will straighten it out. Now He's going to straighten it out. Verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God. He says, now think about this, those of you that are forgetting God. Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver you. Just one little verse of God saying, you had better consider. Because if you don't, judgment's coming. That's what He's saying. I'm gonna tear you apart and there's no one that's going to save you. In other words, in one way, it could be that I have said this is the way it is. God has said this is the way it is. And if we choose to walk a different way, and we choose to be deceitful and to be the thief and to be all of those things that He said and go away from God, just because nothing happens right away doesn't mean that He's going along with it. Actually, it means that He's merciful to us. He's given us another opportunity to get right. But He says, you better pay attention because lest I tear you in pieces, there ain't nobody that's going to be able to help you. That's what He's saying. Verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. God is coming back to saying, This is what I want. Those who offer praise, it glorifies me, he says. Glorifies him. They praise God. They praise him that he has given them the things that he has, that he's been merciful to them. He's brought the family or whatever it is. He says they praise, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. What does this order his conduct aright? I think in simple English today, this would be simply those that do what they know they're supposed to do. As they begin that thing that God has put on our heart that we know that he wants us to do, as we've begun to realize his truth and we begin to realize that God wants us to walk this way, or God wants us to ask for forgiveness, or God wants us to pray for this or whatever, that thing that God wants us to do, as we begin to walk in that way. That would be the order his conduct aright, means in the right way. So in other words, we're moving the way that we're walking in the right way. And he says, to him I'll show the salvation of God. To him there's forgiveness. To that person there's forgiveness. The one that praises him. And the one that begins to walk in the way that they know they should walk. I just want to point out today before we go, chapter 51, if you get a chance to read it, is worth reading. It is David kind of coming, it seems like he's coming back to after God speaks, right? After God speaks, typically there's conviction. We begin to feel like, you know what, God has spoken to me and I am not good enough. I have failed in some areas. I have come up short in some areas. And it appears that after God speaks in chapter 50 and he says all of these things, that this is what I really want. You can give all the sacrifices you want. You can give away all the things you want. Do all the things for God you want. But what I actually truly want is thanksgiving and people that keep their word and people that will actually call on me when they're in trouble. You can do all of that. And then he goes into this, all of this things of those that are doing things against their own brothers and those that are thieves and those kinds of things. And it's so coming into chapter 51, you can read through this chapter. It's a prayer of repentance. It's David before God saying, God, have mercy on me. Let me just read you a couple of verses. Verse 1 of chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out or remove my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge or I know my transgressions or my sinful things, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity in my sin, and in my sin my mother conceived me, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's a psalm of David crying out to God and saying, I'm not good enough. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. I know that I've done wrong. Clean me. And so it is a chapter 51 is a chapter of God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and God's cleansing or cleaning of our heart. I trust today as we have looked at these things that God wants and the things that he does not want or does not like, that he will speak to us. If there's an area that we need to change, there's an area that we need to do better, need to do differently, I believe this morning that he's speaking to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word once again. Thank you for the truth. You've been faithful to us once again in your word to tell us what you expect, to show us what's not good and what is good, what you want and what you don't want. Lord, that you're a forgiving God, a merciful God, a cleansing God, a God that will forgive us, that will clean us up and make us into something better for you. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. I'm asking that you would go with us. I don't know what it is that each one of us needs to do. I know for me, the direction that you'd have me to go. But for these here, I don't know. But Lord, you do. And no doubt you're speaking and saying, this is what I'd have you to do. Lord, give us the courage to walk in the way that you'd have us to and to do the right things throughout this week. Thank you again for your many blessings. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat and the fellowship that we're about to have. Thank you for the moisture that you sent our ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. You're dismissed.